I want to talk about anointing for a little bit this morning. And I anointed for such a time as this. I want you guys to know there's a destiny in this room for every single one of you guys. And God is doing something special here. There's no doubt about it. I talked to Terry Fisher earlier this week, and he said, we came down to see what was going on, to see Family Worship Center over the Grace Conference and things like that. We wanted to see for ourselves. But he said, the things that you guys are doing are very apostolic. And I said, well, tell me more. And he said, Dave Owens had told them about West Point, Nebraska and Family Worship Center. But he said, you guys are doing something that's different than just meeting in a local church. You guys are really engaging the community. You guys are engaging the airwaves. You guys are engaging women conferences and men's gatherings. And you guys are going into high school assemblies. And you guys are going into Cumming County fairs. And you guys are going into any door that opens. And he said, that is very unique, Pastor, and you need to know that. He said, I don't know, out of 100 pastors, I don't know how many churches are like that, that seem to not just be content with having a Sunday morning service, but to want to disciple and to want to outreach and to press the gospel that you preach into the rest of the state of Nebraska. And I needed to hear that, because there's times when I get narrow in my thinking and you wonder, Lord God, are we doing all that we could do? Or are we doing any good at all? You know, there's a negative connotation, and I'm sure you hear those voices in your own walk and in your own ministry. Lord God, are we doing enough, or are we doing anything at all? And so I appreciate that conversation and that encouragement in my own ministry. And I just want to encourage you guys that God is doing some unbelievable things, and people are seeing it from a long ways away. I have a letter in there that I should have grabbed and I had ready, but it was written by a guy named Donnie from Wisconsin. And he says, we're watching you guys on social media, and I want to consider donating to you guys because I see everything that you guys are doing in the state of Nebraska. And he was regarding the flood and us going to flood victims and raising money for the floods. And I just know if we start to tell the story of the different things that have happened here. Daryl Sutton said the same thing. If you would just start to tell the miracles that have happened in 8 years alone, you guys would be writing another book of Acts. He said, you don't realize the book of Acts was written over 35 years, and you guys have been going 8 years. And just the stories that we hear from sitting around over a cup of tea are amazing. Church, all glory to God. God is here and he's in this place. Amen?
Amen.
God's interested and he's raised this up. It's been him from the beginning. And I do see great things. I see a move of God amongst the women. I see a move of God, hopefully, Saturday night amongst young adults. I thank God that the message is mobile and we can take it wherever we go. And there's opportunities in radio right now to go into different places. There's an opportunity to be on television out of Norfolk with an old friend of mine I went to college with. We just need to pray about that opportunity. There's two football players at Love Church in Omaha, Todd Doxson and another guy who was they were both former NFL players. I'm gonna meet with those guys, and I'm gonna meet with the news channel to do a football thing that would be promoted during the football season. And we're just going to see what happens out of that. I want you to know that God's alive and he's moving. He's opening doors to church. Amen. And I ask for your prayers now more than ever before that we would move with the wind of God, the pneuma of God that we learned about this morning. Amen? We know that apostasy is predicted for the last days. We know that there's going to be a great falling away first. We know that there's going to be a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof. From such turn away. We know that there's going to be all these things, but the Word of God says, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. So I don't think the gospel is going to be popular, right? I don't think the gospel is going to be popular in this end time, but the gospel has to be preached nonetheless. And it's got to be preached by you ministers. Amen? We have to take the gospel. There has to be a stirring within us. We can't just be a bump on a log. We can't just be defeated with victim mentality. We can't just sit there and let the whole world go to hell while we sit and have a pity party about something bad that's happened in our life. There has to be something that overcomes in us. Amen? There really does have to be. There has to be a move of God. There has to be an unction from the Holy One. In 1 John 2:20, I believe it's in that chapter, it talks about, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you need not that you have to learn from men. You're going to learn from this unction. And that unction of the Holy One is a smearing, right? I'm quoting the scripture, and I brought some bedhead. This is stuff I used to use, but I've upgraded to defy. Everybody say defy.
Defy.
We're going to defy some gravity here today. Will you stand up if you would?
Absolutely.
Oh, don't get that in the carpet. You come over here for a second. Maybe grab this. An unction from the Holy One, it says, is a smearing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to use you over here in front of everybody. Now go ahead. Now I was going to use Caleb. You tell him that. Because Caleb has this big woofy poofy hair. Beautiful Janet hair. And you don't have much. So what we're going to do is, you have this unction from the Holy Spirit. It's not saying that you need not to be discipled or be with other men or be in fellowship. It's saying completely that every time you get in with the Lord Jesus, every time you consecrate yourself, every time you get in that prayer closet, amen? Every time you get alone with God, you get in the Shekinah glory of God, the Holy Spirit is coming down and you're getting smeared, right? And as you lift up your hand and act like you're worshiping God, and you're loving Jesus, and you're getting a little bit more and more. Would you help me? Would you help me? Just hold that for me right there, would you? You can sit. You can sit. But every time every time, sorry, I missed my hands. Every time we come into that place, oh, dear God, I need you. The Bible says that we're changed from glory to glory into the image, the same image. We're being conformed into Him. Oh, God, as we're putting ourselves upon an altar and everything in us is dying, dear God, we now are emptying ourselves and the Holy Spirit is filling us up. And dear God, He went back again today. Hallelujah. And He's going back again tonight. And like Daniel prayed three times a day as he set his face toward, and all of a sudden he's just getting smeared, my God. And all of a sudden, my God, he's just coming back and he wants more. He wants intimacy. He wants relationship. He just wants to be loved by God. And he's loving Jesus. He doesn't care about this world, and the things of this world are growing strangely dim. And his eyes getting eye salve. He's getting eye salve to where he can see spiritual things. And my God, this kid loves Jesus, and he's growing in God, and it's on him. You can see it. There's an anointing. It's covering him. It's covering him more and more as he enters into the Holy of Holies, as the oil of the apothecary is poured out on him. And I'm going to tell you, back in the day when they would anoint kings, they would just take the jug and they would gush, 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 and it'd come down on the head, and they would come down on the beard, the mouthpiece, which was Aaron's beard, and then God would speak to his people, and then it would come down on the skirts, and then that oil would just be everywhere. And dear God said that was it was good for brethren to dwell together in that unity, amen, of the Holy Spirit. So this man would just be seeking the face of God everywhere he would go. My gosh, look at that beard. And it would come down upon him. It would come down on the family and on the congregation and everywhere. As the anointing would just begin to flow, he would be smeared. My God, are you getting the point?
Yeah.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, amen. Praise the Lord. And so anyway, and yeah. My God, your hair looks great. Amen. I'm going to have to grab a little towel. Thank you. And so you guys, I want you to know that anointing that they tarried for 10 days in an upper room, it did come down, didn't it? It did come down and it hit them. Oh my gosh, and it anointed them. It flowed through them, and that anointing just kept running and flowing and moving. And you guys, that same anointed power is there for us today. Amen.
Amen.
The anointing's never changed. God's just looking for a vessel to smear that unction that you have from the Holy One. is a powerful, powerful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And that anointing, you guys, comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. And that anointing will change your heart and life forever. And that is the key. You want to have an anointing in your ministry? You guys are all ministers, right? Yes. You're all ministers. Do you guys want to have an anointing on your ministry?
Amen.
Well, you're going to have to get shut in with God. Amen. In the secret place. There in the secret, beholding His face. And that's what we're all called to do, is to walk in that. Praise the name of Jesus. Man, next time I'm going to use a girl, because it'll come down on girls just as it came down on the boys. Do I have a volunteer? Thank you so much. Praise God. So, again, that anointing is there. It's tangible. It's for us. And that will bring revival to everything. That you just draw a circle around yourself and you get anointed in that circle and you get so full of God, you're going to step out of that circle and you're going to walk into other circles and you're going to invade other people and other rooms and other influences, and you can bring revival to every single room that you ever walk into, as long as it starts right here. Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
If you believe it, give the Lord a hand clap today. Let's warm you guys up a bit. And if God is leading us by the Spirit, He's going to give us opportunities. Cumming County Fairs, Revive 275s, Wayne State College. I ran into a kid the other day. He said, "Can you come up to Wayne State College and preach for Crew?" I said, "I've been there. I'll do it again. Just invite me." And God is going to do that. Why are we getting these opportunities? Why do you think we get the opportunities?
Souls.
Anointing. Yeah. Ask, seek, and knock. We want to touch the world for Christ. Why do you think God gave us a church and He put it on Broadway? A broad way to lead people to a narrow way. David Wilkerson had the church on Broadway. Times Square Church, right?
Yeah.
That was New York City. Well, welcome to West Point, Nebraska, Stephanie, Clinton. But in the old days, they'd call it a front street. They said, "God's going to put a church on Front Street so everybody can see it." God put us on Broadway. He put us at the corner of whatever, Wisner and Sankson or whatever, it, 275, Highway 275. Why did God do that? Did we have control over that? No. Why did He do that? Why did He stick the light and turn it on Halloween night and then speak, "They that sat in darkness have seen a great light"? Why did He do that? So people would see it. "Let your light so shine before men." The whole wide. So God, doesn't promotion come from? So if God is promoting this thing, opening the doors, allowing the move. Did anybody enjoy the Cumming County Fair last week? Amen?
Yes.
Amen. The feedback that we've heard from that is amazing, church. But what I'm saying is God's doing that. God wants to do that. God's going to continue to do unbelievable things. And if we'll just give our heart and life to Him, I believe that we can see the preaching and the power and the glory of God again in this day. I believe we could even see revival. Most people think revival is evangelism. It's not. I want to take you up a little higher. Revival is when God moves. He moved at Azusa Street. He moved in the Hebrides. He moved in the Welsh Revival. God moved, and God can move here too, because He's no respecter of people. Amen? This is our generation. Jaden, this is your generation. This is your generation, Sam Kurtz. This is our generation. Your soul could have been placed in anywhere in time or in a body for the last 6,000 years. But God chose to put that soul in you. And He knew you from your mama's womb, right? And He birthed you here and He brought you to this area. You're here either in the will of God or you're not here. But I'm telling you, you're here in the will of God. So there's a significance for you being you and you being in the will of God right where you're at. Praise the name of Jesus. And He is going to anoint you to be a weapon for Him, as we heard this morning from Melissa. There is an absolute need in this hour for a demonstration of God in the whole United States of America. We need God to move. What we need is not another description for the anointing, but rather a demonstration of the anointing of God. We need a demonstration of God's anointing poured out so that the people can see and know that there is a voice crying again, and His voice is God, and He's still crying out, "Let the heathen be saved." Amen? There's got to be. And God wants to take your voice, and He wants to use your voice and let it impact. He wants to use you to impact the world for Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to do that, and you'll never have this opportunity ever again in your life. There's only one life. It'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. There's only one life. There's only one anointing. The anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. Can you be anointed any other way than outside of the Holy Spirit? Man, I used to think I was anointed when I was dancing in a club somewhere. Man, I'd get lost in music, and I'm telling you, there was some sort of something that would take over my body, and I could dance into the wee hours of the night. Man, you just get the drums right, you get the music right. I was spinning, and it didn't matter if people were there or not. It was like I was in a trance. My wife used to go in England, she'd go to these parties called raves, and she'd go to a trance party. They'd play music there and get goofy and smoke whatever until they were just lost. I mean, just lost dancing and doing everything else. It was called a rave or a trance. Even that was a little bit too weird for me, Brett. You know what I mean? I wasn't into all that. But I want you guys to know, for such a time as this, you have been called to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And go to the book of Esther today, if you have it in your Bibles. Esther 4:14. We'll look at a scripture here. We'll look at the person of Esther for just a minute. I believe this was Esther's call. So I want you to know the anointing is manifested in power, dunamis. The anointing is manifested in grace, and true grace is God's divine power. Amen? The anointing is manifested in wisdom, and it's manifested in knowledge. I already spoke with Joe, and I don't know where he went, but I was going to spike your hair up a little bit more. But anyway, that unction is saying the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. The Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. He is the spirit of knowledge. He's the spirit of truth according to Himself. Wow. So this anointing is going to teach you all things. You don't need that men teach you. You have to follow the Lord. Amen? In Esther's call, it says this. Esther 4:14. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet no one knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." For such a time as this. God was going to use Esther to save His people from destruction. Esther went to Xerxes and pleaded with him to write a new law that would save her people. And she said, "If I perish, I perish." The Jews' lives were saved because Esther was faithful and obeyed in the circumstance that she was in. Many lives were saved because of her influence. But you guys have to know then, if God did that for Esther, God did that in ancient Israel. God can do that for you right now. James, if you're going to walk with God, many people are going to be saved because you turned your life to Jesus, because God turned your life to Jesus Christ, and your witness alone is going to affect men, is going to affect women, it's going to affect people, kids, whatever, communities. Do you believe that? And people are going to be saved because of His conversion. Now, because everybody in here is a professing Christian, you guys are going to move in that power. God's going to work through your conversion to save many people. Do you believe that? Amen. He's going to give you that influence. He's going to multiply it as your anointing grows. If you continue to be with Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to pull you out. He's not just saved you to save you. He saved you to impact the world. Amen? Amen. To tell the world about Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every man, woman, and child. I know it's going to be difficult. I know there's going to be trials. I know there's going to be troubles. And on the day of Pentecost, you see a guy like Peter who was always kind of waffling. Some days he was scared off. Some days he was on fire. Some days he was ready to take up a sword and whip somebody's head with it. He was just a zealous guy. He was run off by the little damsel at one time. But after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, after this anointing came through him, it changed his life and his ministry. Would you agree to that? This Peter was now on fire for God. This Peter's going to speak, and the power of God is going to go right through people, and it's going to save. And we see him being used as he's preaching the gospel, and people are being saved in the thousands, and the church is growing by 3,000 and then by 5,000. The church is growing very quickly through this power of Pentecost. And I want to say this to Ray. I want to say this to Wendy Bauer. I want to say this to other people. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is needful for every single one of you guys to break through the human heart, right? And to go right in so people know it's not you speaking to them, but it's the Holy, you're locked on by the Holy Spirit laser beam, amen, and you're speaking into somebody's soul, amen? And what happens? People get saved. Ray, stick your hand up. Ray gets saved. Somebody asked me the other day, how did Ray Mankey get saved at your church? Why did that happen? And you know what I said? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. It convicted him of sin, and he surrendered, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
So church, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. For he hath anointed me to speak and to preach. And that deliverance is going to come to the captives. We're going to open the sight of the blind. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was upon him. Praise God. And it changed Peter. Peter obeyed God. Peter was in a position in Acts chapter 10 where he saw a vision. And he was told to go to Cornelius. He said, I got a trouble with this. Cornelius is not like us. He's a Gentile. He's a Roman. How can I go to another people group and tell them about what God's given to us? Peter was struggling with it. You know, the whole vision from heaven, the unclean things and whatnot. You know, he sees this vision, he sees this trance, and God's speaking to him and showing him that God was going to bring this power of the Spirit now to a different people, wholly and completely. I want to tell everybody in this room today that God is not limited by your sins. He's not limited by your sins at all. God is not limited. He could save you if you were the worst sinner on planet Earth. Jesus Christ's blood can reach farther than you can fall. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your circumstances and your fears and your failures, listen. Jesus is bigger than every single one of those things. Our God is greater than all those things. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The only thing that limits us is us. Is us. So we need to be encouraged. We need to be built up in the faith. We need to have pistis, which means faith. Right? We need to move in this word of confidence towards our God and believing that He's a good God and that He wants to give good things to His people. And we need to move in this pneuma that we learned about this morning, which is the breathe, breath, wind of God. And the breathe, breath, wind of God came as a breath to the early disciples. John 20, 22. He breathed upon them and they received the pneuma. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus told them to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with a power from on high, a dunamis now, that was going to move through this pneuma to give you pistis, which is going to be faith. Faith and confidence in your God. Faith that moves mountain. Faith that's going to put you in the hall of fame of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Cause you to do mighty exploits for God. Cause you to see things that you never even could have imagined. And do things that could have never been done, and just like they did in the Bible. It's going to come from the pneuma as you walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's going to come and give you pistis, which is faith, to accomplish dunamis, which is going to be the mighty works of God and the exploits that are going to be worked out in your life. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing God could ever do is to bring us back in right relationship with God and then not only leave us there in a relationship, but now He says, I'm going to give you the power to walk the Christian faith, and I'm going to give you so much power. I know you want power, and I'm going to give you power to be a witness for me. And that witness will shake the entire world, amen? And I'm going to do it through ministers just like you, normal, ordinary folks, amen?
Yes.
That are going to move the world for God if they'll only believe pistis, if they'll only believe in me. Mm-hmm. Dear God, I pray that your pistis, your faith, would open up to pneuma, the wind of the Holy Spirit. And dear God, because it's a gift, because faith is a gift of the Holy Ghost, amen? It's a fruit of the Spirit, faith is, amen? That you get more and more pistis, which is faith, as you move in the pneuma, Holy Spirit. Wow. Are you serious? This is for us? This is for today? We can walk in this? God's not dead? No, God's calling you. He's going to anoint you. Look at this, Acts 10. Go Acts 10 with me. Third, and I want to look at the calling and the anointing of this Roman, of this Cornelius, this Gentile. And Peter's having a troubled time. I don't know if God really wants to deal with these people, but because God dealt with me in such a way, He showed me that I have to preach the gospel to these people. Wow. He led him over to Cornelius' house, Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whosoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. Amen. Are you glad for that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, He's Lord of all. Amen. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38. Look at this verse with me. How God... Everybody say, anointed.
Anointed.
How God, that's the Father, anointed. There's the Trinity. Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Power.
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. God's plan was to anoint Jesus Christ and give him every possible power from heaven above to accomplish what God had intended for Jesus' ministry. And the result was the same Holy Spirit which had protected Esther and which gave power to Peter's ministry. This same thing that was residing upon Christ came upon Peter, and then all who heard Cornelius's house. And the Bible says that they were all saved and they were filled with this same Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 44. Let's look at it together. So now Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. It says that many times in the book of Acts. He's filled. He's filled with pneuma. He's filled with wind. He's filled with the blowing breath of God. And a mighty rushing wind is flowing through him. And he is, I wish I could bring Joe back right now and smear his head. And he's going back to the prayer meeting. It said they went to the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3. And they're praying and they're seeking God. And that guy's getting covered with so much of the unction and the smearing and the glory of God that he's ceasing to be like himself. And he's starting to become more like God in his consecration and his thinking. He's developing the mind of Christ. And now he's moving out with this glory that's on him. It's literally, tangibly on the apostles. It is. They're smeared with it, and they're walking through rooms, and their shadows are healing people, and they're touching people, and they're sending napkins and aprons. And dear God, they're saying, just go. God is all over us. We're going to pray the prayer of faith, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to be healed. You're going to be set free. And while Peter yet spake these words... Look at his preaching. Look at his preaching. Look at his teaching. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. The Holy Ghost was anointing this. This wasn't Peter at all, was it? Can you see that? And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also, was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. The miracle here was that the Gentile world too could receive the gospel. Do you get that? That this gospel was not going to stop with the Jews, but it was going to go to all the world, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. How do we know? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter said in 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost, the pneuma, as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized. Church, I want you guys to know that salvation is just a little bit bigger than we think it is. And think about this. Think about Cornelius's conversion, a Roman. If he wouldn't have got saved, what would have happened in his life? If he wouldn't have come to this knowledge, he could have been he could terrorize the church. He could have been as bad as a Saul. Imagine if Paul would have never gotten saved. Imagine if Osama bin Laden would have got saved. Imagine if Hitler would have gotten saved. Imagine if Donald Trump got saved. What good could come to this country again? Are you with me? So every single life matters, amen? Yours and mine and whoever else that God is going to deal with in human history. And that change, that conversion will spark a change in every town, city, community. If God can just get it to you, He'll get it through you. Amen? If God can just get the Holy Ghost in us, if God can just save us by grace through faith and then begin to build us up in the faith, building up your most holy faith. If God can just do that, if he can anoint you guys, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If He can get you to that place, dear God, if we can walk in revival, then we are going to shake the very ground in which we walk. Church, I believe that. The footprints are going to be left. You know, we'll have this dash in human history of what we accomplished for God and what we did with God. And church, the opportunities are endless. Amen. If we'll just walk with Jesus and we'll get according to His Word. Amen. I'm going to get, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody stand up. Now shake yourself because you're tired. Amen? Praise the name. Now just shake yourself. Now imagine the Holy Spirit coming upon you and you just getting, you standing in His presence. You know, what's it like when you're standing in God's presence? What is it like? Do you guys lift your hands?
Amen.
Did you lift your hands? What's it like when you get alone with God? James swings back and forth like this and then Sam goes down sometimes. What's it like when you get alone with God and you just feel the freedom in your own prayer closet?
The Word of God wants to flow out.
The Word of God wants to flow out of us. Amen. Jesus is the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
God wants to flow. What's it like when you guys get into that place with God and you get lost there because of the time? The time just sneaks away from you. Amen. And the anointing's pouring out of heaven and you really have tapped into the Holy of Holies and you know that you're surrendered and submitted to God and so you're decreasing and His increasing. What does that feel like to you guys?
Joy.
Is it the greatest joy? Amen?
Joy.
Love, right? Because it's a baptism in love, right?
Peace.
And the love's going to keep us. Peace. Peace.
Yes.
Peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has come to us, amen? And this is our power, and this is our strength, and this is the inheritance, and this is our right and our privilege, and this is the promised land, amen?
Amen.
Church, everything they were looking for was the promised land, amen?
Amen?
Dear God, so if we can just get into this place, then all the work of ministry is really to bring us back to beholding His face and being filled with God and then to move out of that place into the world to touch a world for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Do you agree to that intellectually or do you agree to that in demonstration?
Demonstration.
Amen? So God can move in power and demonstration in this world and be seen. He loves you. He saved you to be His hands and feet in this world. He wants you to go into all the world. He wants you to be stirred for God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Church, you can be seated. I knew you were getting tired. So when God saves his people, he saves the world. And if he saves Sam Kirch, he's going to save the world around Sam Kirch. And if he saved one of you guys in your family, he's going to start to domino effect it all. He gets me saved. If he can take the big, if he can take the Osama out, guess what? Stephen's the next to be saved. And then boom, 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 boom. God's going to save everybody in that family one way or another. Do you believe that? Let that encourage the people that are still going through hell trying to see their family saved. Church, I'm thankful that God is going to do a work. If he chose Esther, if he chose Peter, he's going to choose us, and we're going to shake the world for God if we can just be anointed. And I know there's trouble, and here I'm going to flow this out right now. I want you guys to know that there's going to be tribulation in this world. Amen?
Yes.
What about your tribulation right now? The Bible says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but don't worry about that. I've overcome the world. And what Jesus wants to say to you today is this: I'm going to overcome your world too. I am fully capable to be fully dominant, to overcome your world. Whatever's going on in your life, dear God, my God, can overcome your world. Amen?
Amen.
He'll shake your world. He'll rattle this world. God's on the throne. And dear God, take it from heaven. He's going to do it in your life. Amen. There is going to be trials, hurt, pain, struggle, suffering, all of those things. But the Bible says just tarry, just wait for the promise, and God's going to come and give you something that will supercharge and overcome and dominate all of those things in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus can heal us. He can strengthen us. He can deliver us. He can baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He can move through us to save our families. Imagine whole household salvation coming to all your families and a great influx and a great moving of God in this end time. Are you believing for it?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I am too. If we just start to pray together, start to agree on this stuff, oh, wow, it's going to happen. I want you to remember this guy named Joseph. Forgotten about. Hated and rejected by his brethren, sold into foreign slavery, suffered for righteousness, suffered the depths of humiliation, and yet rose to the highest exaltation. That is your life. The exaltation you may not see yet, but is coming. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
If it doesn't happen here, it'll happen there. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Church, I'm telling you the truth. I love this. Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." So why the hurt? Why the pain? Why the struggles? Why all the questions? Why the trial? Dear God, why all the waiting for the answers that I want to see? Why is he not healed yet? You thought evil against me. Church, in that verse 20, but God meant it for good. Here's the purpose, church. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Why did God stick me in mom and dad's house for 7 years and didn't let me leave? Why did I have to get married and move back to my mom and dad's house? If Brett or anybody knows me in this room, that's not a cool thing to do. Why in the world did he do that to me? You know what he was doing to me? He was killing me. It wasn't that it was bad in mom and dad's house because they gave me everything I needed, you know? But it was sure killing my pride. It was killing everything that I wanted to do in this life and in this world. It was crushing me. And it was, oh God. As I think back to those moments and I think back to those times in my life, I despaired even of life. Dear God, what are you doing with me? But Jesus wasn't done. And if he's going to take you down, I'm telling you, he's going to bring you up. Amen?
Yes, amen.
He's going to bring you up again for one purpose, and that's this: to save much people alive.
Amen.
If we'll just submit to his will and his plan and his purpose, and that will be the most glorious thing we could ever do in this world. Amen? Lead others to the righteousness that we found only in one name, no other name but Jesus' name. Amen? The most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful name on earth. Church, that's your calling. That's my calling. And we need to be anointed for such a time as this. All the ministers of Christ in this region need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and smeared. And I'll tell you what, I can show you again what smearing looks like. But there's only one place, and there's only a few people that will really enter in and go get it. But that anointing will break every yoke of bondage and set every captive free. Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen? Cause the lame to walk. Open the blinded eye. Speak, and people will get saved instantly. They just get in the same room with you. God will do the rest. You'll stretch out your hands to heal, and people will recover. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
That's for all of you guys.
Yeah.
And that's forever. Yeah. And if you believe it, stand and say, it's mine. Amen. Yeah.